Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletin. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you do have a very meaningful worship experience with us, and we want you to know that you are welcome here. We want you to feel that also. At this time, I want to ask members and visitors alike to please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, and would like to consider Main Street, we would love to have you, and we'd like for you to give us your address and phone number so that we can have someone contact you. Reminder that the second in the special parenting series will take place this afternoon from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. The series this afternoon will be led by the Greenville County Sheriff's Department. The topic will be drug abuse and underage drinking. There will be child care for preschoolers and activities for elementary children. There will be a snack supper served at 5 o'clock. So please, parents, make plans to attend that session this afternoon. Our Wednesday night gathering series continues this Wednesday night with a program presented by Alice Valentine and others who work with the Healthy Learners Educational Program. We will have a catered supper this week. It will be catered by Sweet Peas, and the menu is beef tips over rice, buttered carrots, green beans, rolls, and tea. And since it is a catered meal, it is very important that you make reservations for that. There should be yellow cards in the pew racks for you to make reservations. You can make reservations for just this Wednesday night, or if you would like to, you can make reservations, a standing reservation for all of the fall series gatherings. Also, since the following week will be Labor Day weekend and we will not be here on Monday, if you would like to go ahead and make your reservations for the following Wednesday, please go ahead and do that also so that we can have a good count for that meal. We have three disciple Bible studies that will be taking place this fall. Disciple 1, their orientation program will be held Sunday, August the 27th at 6:30 in the Stephen Ministry Room. Disciple 1 will be led this year by Kit Atkins and Glenn Williams, and they will be meeting on Sundays from 6:30 to 9. Disciple 3, their orientation will be Thursday, August 24th at 6:30, also in the Stephen Ministry Room. They will be led this year by Dave Chastain and Terry Strange, and they're going to meet every Thursday from 6 o'clock to 8:30. And then Christian Believer will be led by Reverend Dennis. They will begin meeting on September the 7th, and they're going to meet Thursday mornings from 9:30 until 12 noon. And there are still spaces available in each of those Bible studies, so if you're interested, just show up on those dates for the initial meetings. Main Streeters, you are reminded that you need to be here at 11:30. If you have made reservations for your program on this Tuesday, the program being Shaw Thompson, Shaw and Rebecca Thompson, and Shaw's brother, please be here promptly at 11:30 so that program can begin. That's this Thursday, August 22nd. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
please stand for the call to worship? Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Please be seated. Please join me in the invocation in your bulletin. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. We thank you that you don't leave us alone, but labor to make us whole. Help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our lives and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the joy you give your people. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to call to your attention, we have had several deaths in our congregation since last week. Marie Talbert, Tom Day, Walter Scott, and also Carol Bateman, who we got the word yesterday, Carol succumbed to breast cancer at the hospice center yesterday. Let us be in special prayer for those who were close friends and family who have lost these loved ones. And let us pray for God's comfort in their grief. Also, Ann Flincham is still in the hospital recovering from her knee surgery. And Doris McKinney has gone home from the hospital but still weak. Alma Cromer has some health concerns and will be having some further surgery. Bill Sandel, Candace Peppers, Joyce Bartless, Phyllis Legg, R.J. Fife, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Reverend William F. Rogers, Kyle Bennett, Ray Ballantyne, and Bette McCord Bly. I also ask you to pray for my children. Each of the three are going through some changes, one back to school, one pregnant again with another grandchild, and one starting a new teaching and coaching job over my son over at West Oak. I'd like you to pray for my children in those new endeavors. Now let us lift our private prayers up and thanksgivings and confessions together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, out of all the voices calling us to follow, we have heard your word, your invitation to love, forgiveness, and grace. It is good to know you love us. It is good to know your love has overcome our sins and even death itself. Help us go beyond the good for ourselves and share your good news with others. Help us, Lord, be forgiving as we have been forgiven. Help us love enough to overcome the faults in others. Help us let go of ancient grudges and hurts and hates. Free us for a life that is good toward you and others. Free us to be a glowing light of your grace in this dark and often dangerous world. In these days, we especially pray for the influence of your Holy Spirit upon the leaders of the nations of the world. And we pray in our hearts for our private concerns, for those many who grieve the loss of loved ones, for those who need help and hope, and for those who are frozen in fear and don't know which way to go. Lord, for all these concerns and our private concerns we hold in our hearts, we lift up our private prayers. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite the children down front for a special children's message with Chip Stockman.
I've got some pictures of some professionals, and I want y'all to tell me what these people do for a living, okay? What is their job? What's that fellow's job right there? What is that, Griffin? What does he do? You don't know. Come on. Aaron, help me out. He's a policeman. That's right. What about this guy? Have y'all ever seen anybody do that before? What's he do, Skyler? Scuba diver. What about this guy on the back right here? He's a fireman. Are those kind of exciting jobs? They seem like it, right? I mean, those are action jobs. I mean, you're doing something all the time. They're blazing buildings or chasing cars or whatever, you know, chasing the bad guys. Those are exciting jobs, right? I mean, that'd be a real exciting thing to do. What about this person right here? What do you think they do? What do you think they do? Can you tell? Might be a scientist. Might be a teacher. Can you tell? No, I think that's a lab we're looking in there. What about this lady? What does she do? What do you think she does? A plumber. She's a plumber. Okay? What about this guy right here? What does he do? What does he do? Can you tell? Can you tell what that guy's doing? He's a farmer. Okay? Kind of not as exciting as a policeman or a fireman or a scuba diver or, you know, those types of things. But here, those first guys we talked about, those are action jobs. I mean, they're going out and they're doing their thing, right? They're putting it online every day. Well, these other people are too, right? I mean, they're just because they're not running into burning buildings or diving down like the scuba diver, diving deep underwater and all. But yet, they're doing the things that they have to do too. And God has called each one of us to do the things that we have been given the skills to do. Whether it be a fireman or a policeman or a teacher or a doctor or a scuba diver or a farmer. Or here's a real important one. What do you think that is? What do you think that lady is? Huh? Yeah. How about that for a tough job? A mom. That's right. It's probably the toughest job on the planet. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently. So what we want to do is remember every day that God lets you do what you can do. Now, do you have to have a job to work for God? Can you work for God in school every day? How can you do that? How do you think you can make a difference? What can you do? Skylar, what grade are you in? Third grade. What in the world can a third grader do for God? He can tell other people about God. He can live his life. And people say, man, that scholar, he's got it all together. He's always friendly. He's always doing his best. Somebody asks you, why you're doing that? Say, because that's what God asked me to do. Do everything I'm doing like I'm doing it for God. And that's what we're all called to do, is live every minute like you're living it for God, okay? Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to know you and to live each day. We're given the opportunity to live for you. We pray for the strength and courage that we might be able to see what those things are that you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we come to our time for the passing of the peace, I want to just a point of personal privilege, since I'm standing at the pulpit, I get to do that sometimes. I have two guests from one of my former congregations, Sarah and Jeff Harrison, sitting with Caroline. So as you pass the peace, maybe you can especially pass the peace over to them. Jeff is one of my oldest friends. He's got to be almost 60. He's got to be close. I want to just say something that Jeff has been kind of a blessing in my life, and I'm just want to say in a gentle but firm way, I think you know by now how standoffish people perceive me. And after a couple of years, you realize, well, he's not really. He's just kind of reserved. It's hard for me to make friends in a congregation. It's always been difficult for me to cross that barrier between friendship and pastor. But at one point, I was riding bicycles with Jeff, and I don't know if he remembers this, and I was explaining to him how we move around. We don't make really that many friends. And Jeff just said, well, I'm going to be your friend. Get used to it. And this has been 9 years, 9, 10 years ago. So I just wanted to say that it's good, to, as I move from church to church, to have a few people who still keep up with me, and he's here today. Let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings 2, verses 10 through 12, and 1 Kings 3, 3 through 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned for 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. He sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love for your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you, if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
The epistle reading this morning is from the first chapter of James, and we'll start with verse 17 instead of, as your bulletin says, verse 12. Verse 17, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to anger, slow to speak, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these offerings, these gifts. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verses 51 through 58. Hear now God's word. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember back when people were first getting those little portable cassette recorders? And do you remember the first time you recorded grandma's voice or your own voice and then you played it back? You remember what everybody said? They said, that doesn't sound like me, but it does, whether you think so or not. Now, I don't like the way I sound, and I know when I've said in the morning service, and I'll say again, when Emmy is playing my sermon tapes in the office, I tell her, you know, turn that off, or I shut my door, because I don't like to hear my own voice recorded. I would like it to be a lot lower, and in my mind it is, but the tape recorder says I'm wrong. Now, do you remember the first time you compared the Ten Commandments to your actual life? You know, they are all about loving God and loving neighbor, and before you feel safe thinking that you can handle the Ten Commandments, remember Jesus redefined those Ten Commandments, saying that we break them wide open even when we think idolatry, even when we think murder, even when we think lust or envy. He redefined it so that even the thoughts were breaking those commandments. And so I would love the word sinner to be a word for other people. Just like I don't sound like that is what I'd like to say. I'd like to also say I don't sin like that. I'm not that bad. But if it's in my thoughts, then oh, I guess I do sin like that. Before God, I am a sinner. I am as covered in mud as the prodigal son, mud in the ugliness of sin, thought, word, and deed. That's who I am. But I don't like the way I sin. But you know, in my mirror at home, when I look at myself, what I see is what I'd like to see. A decent guy, a tithing guy, a preacher, a missioner, a faithful husband, a good father, a provider. I don't live too extravagantly by middle class American standards. I mean, in my mirror, as I see myself, I look pretty good. But what is God's standard? What would God's mirror be? It would be the very life of Jesus Christ. That is God's standard. But as I turn away from my mirror, and even though I know that Jesus is the standard, I do this thing that we all do. I start looking for people who are worse than me. Don't we do that? I look for people who are worse than me. Oh, that makes me feel so much better. And I can find them. I can find plenty. So I forget about my extravagances, and I forget about my sins of thought and word and deed and my sins of omission where I fail to do what I know that I should do. As long as I can find somebody else who looks worse, I can imagine myself pretty good. You know the old fairy tale saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Well, relatively speaking, and using many, many qualifiers, and ignoring the standard of Christ, I guess I just might be among the fairest. Now Jesus lived His life in God's will and for the good of others. He lived it in God's will and for the good of others. In the book of James, it says that we should respect other people. We should listen to them. And I've already said it in the morning service. I might as well say it here. Caroline's out there tapping Morse code with her foot when I'm saying this, because she knows that this sermon is for me. as well as for many of us. I don't always practice quick to listen and slow to speak. But let us hear that this is the way we are to be loving to others. James says, be quick to hear. Listen for real, not just for ammunition when it's your turn to talk. And I know husbands and wives know about that. Listen for real. And be slow to speak. Don't interrupt. And love them for real. Be very slow to anger, says James. You aren't going to accomplish anything for good, and you can't claim to be living for God if you discount people, if you don't listen to people, and if you jump straight to anger when things don't go your way. You're not doing God's work when you act that way. The mirror, the standard, is Jesus Christ. You can't act like that and follow Him. James goes on to say, if you want to be religious, this is what he says, if you want to be religious, truly religious, then you must bridle your tongue. If your tongue spews anger and judgment and dissension in the church, you are deceiving yourself. James says, this man's or this woman's religion is in vain. And verse 27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Keep the ugliness out of your speech and listen to and respect other people. You are called to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. In the words you take in, and that means the movies you watch and the books you read and the music you listen to, be careful about the words you take in and the words you speak out to other people. And, James is heavy on this, the deeds that you do. Jesus lived His life in God's will and for the good of others. Now, a lot of you know about Coach Bill McCartney. He was formerly a coach in Colorado and also the head of Promise Keepers. Back in 1990, he did something to reveal the power of living for others. In 1990, his team, Colorado, was on the road to the national championship, and they faced the toughest schedule in the nation. Next on their game roster came Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. And Colorado had lost 23 straight times when they played Nebraska at home. And this coming up game was at home. So Bill McCartney, as an outspoken Christian, sought to demonstrate the principles of Christianity to his team. So with that in mind, he came up with a plan to motivate his players, and he called his players together, and this was genius. Coach, I don't know if you can afford to do what he did. You probably know this story. He said, at the end of this game, each one of you is going to receive a $70 game ball with the final score printed on it. And before we leave tomorrow, I want you to call somebody up who you are close to and tell them to watch you play and tell them that you are dedicating your play to them. That you're playing for them. Well, on a soggy, cold, rain-swept Nebraska field, Colorado was down 12-0 in the fourth quarter, and they came back to beat the Cornhuskers 28-12. Now, Coach McCartney said later that their strength came from their attitude of selflessness. They dedicated their gameplay to someone else, and so they became bigger than just themselves. As Christians, we are on God's team. God's outpost of the gospel of forgiveness and eternal hope is beaming right here from Main Street United Methodist Church. Our strength and our game plan is from God, but our mission is completely for others. The game plan is from God, but our mission is completely for others. We tend to say, you love me, God, you forgive me, God, thank you very much. No. We're not playing for ourselves. We're playing for others. Too many people in the church care about who gets the credit and who has the power and who has the say-so and who gets the glory. Folks, if we do this thing right, echoing the letter of James, true religion is for others. And God gets the glory.
And we know that it is in spite of our ugliness that God can work through us, not because of how wonderful and perfect we are. When I was an associate at a large church in Charleston, I learned that you can get almost anything done in a church as long as you don't care who gets the credit. I found I could accomplish great things as long as I was pointing that spotlight away from me. I found the secret was not worshiping in the mirror and saying, "Jim, you did a wonderful thing," but true humility. And I remember my senior pastor's first words to me. They were, in fact, very humbling. I won't say who he was. But his first words to me was, "Jim, as my associate, your job is to make me look good." That's humbling. And when I forgot myself and focused on what needed to be done to build up the church and to help others, big things happened. And I think that humble service always works because God honors it. If we all live the attitude that James spells out, there's no telling what God can do through Main Street. We know what we really are in the mirror of God's standard, Jesus Christ. And that should lead us to humility and service out of thanksgiving for God's love in spite of us. Ruth Knowlton tells this on herself. She says, "Years ago I lived in an apartment building in a large city, and the building next door was only a few feet away from mine, and I could see across the alley straight into her window. And I really didn't know the woman there, never met her, but I could see her as she sat by her window in the afternoon, sewing or reading or whatever. And after several months had gone by," Ruth writes, "I began to notice that her windows were getting dirty. Everything was indistinct, that her windows were smudged. I would say to myself, I wonder why that woman doesn't wash her windows. They look dreadful. And one bright morning, I decided to do my spring house cleaning, including washing my windows on the inside. And late in the afternoon, when I was finished, I sat down by the window with a cup of coffee for a rest, and what a surprise! Across the way, the woman sitting by her window was clearly visible. Her windows were clean. Then it dawned on me. I had been criticizing her dirty windows, and all the time, I was looking through my own dirt." Now, doesn't that remind you of 1 Corinthians 13:12 I read last week? "For now in this life we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face with God. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." One day we won't need mirrors. One day we won't be looking through a dirty glass, wondering what God is like and what we're supposed to do. One day we shall see God face to face. And we will know God just as completely as God knows us. Now this is a scary thought, that God now completely, completely knows us. Self-delusion doesn't help with God. A new haircut doesn't help with God. New makeup and new clothes don't help. God knows us. But it is a good thing to see that God loves us in spite of knowing the very worst about us. And we can look forward to knowing God and all His righteousness, glory, and holiness without all this stuff getting in the way. Most of what gets in the way between us and God and between us and others is us. Who is that ugly man in the mirror? It's me. It's me. Ministers too stand as sinners in need of God's forgiveness and grace. Just like everybody else, I ain't Jesus. None of us are perfect in God's eyes. We are not perfect in our spouse's eyes. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. We are not perfect in our children's eyes. Who's got a teenager? We are, I'm afraid, imperfect all the way around, and yet James would have us believe that we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, live in a way that reflects true faith. He says you're imperfect, but you can reflect real faith with God's Spirit working through you. Control your tongue, he says. Be quick to listen, he says. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. And visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And keep yourself unstained from the world.
unstained from the world. Spend more and more time in God's Word and live life among God's people and do God's work. And force that spotlight away from you and to others and see what happens when you humbly serve. I think God honors it. Switching gears here, Caroline and I once did a marriage enrichment workshop a few years back. It was at a Baptist church and had, I guess, about 35 people there. It was a two-day thing. And at one point, we had an exercise. We played a song, some of you may know, by Diana Krall, entitled When I Look Into Your Eyes. I played 1 minute of that. And I encouraged the couples who had been married, all of them for at least a couple of decades, to look for that 1 minute into each other's eyes. One wife that I knew began to cry. She began to just bawl. She said later to me that she had seen herself as a mother, she had seen herself as a worker, but she had not seen herself in the eyes of her husband for years and years. I dare you to take this scripture seriously and be quiet. And slow to speak and slow to anger with others. And instead of looking at yourself and projecting what you think others see, see yourself in the eyes of your spouse, in the eyes of your child, in the eyes of your grandchild or a trusted friend. And most of all, see yourself in the eyes of God who knows you fully inside and out. Our faith is about others. Our mirror has nothing to do with it. One, the others that our faith has to do with, number one is God, and number two is all these people around us. What we really are as we relate to them. What we are in their eyes. Not as we imagine, but as they see us. We need to see ourselves. Not through the eyes of advertising, telling us to buy this or buy that in order to be wonderful. We need to see ourselves through the eyes of God who created us, came to us in Jesus Christ and believed we were worth even death on the cross. We are worth something, not because of winning or losing or who we are or what we have. We are worth something because God loved us in spite of the ugliness within. In spite of sin, God loves us in Jesus Christ. That is our worth. And it is through His eyes that we should see ourselves and see others. Only then do we truly begin the journey of faith. Amen. Receive now this blessing. Be blessed in the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the power and the comfort and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
May you be sustained in your journey of faith from here to eternity. In Christ's name, amen.